Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC.
And this is the best animated shows ever, so far, where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever, eventually. MC, it's Food Wars again.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
So
it's less porny this time.
It's
not zero porny, but it is less porny.
I mean, I thought you were gonna have a go at me for how the show opens up.
I don't remember how the show opened up. Oh, it opens with boobs or a butt or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's a bar scene with a gorilla.
Chef Lady has giant breasts all the time. Listen, MC, it's less porny. It's not zero porny, but it is less porny. Which, you know, we gotta give it credit where credit is due. And in this case, the credit is due for being... I would say it's like 50% as porny as the last one. But that's not what we're here to talk about yet, because we gotta do behind-the-scenes stuff, MC.
Oh, yeah.
And for today, we're actually gonna toss it to our friend Ninja Boy again. With Ninja Boy, when he was working on the background stuff for Food Wars, just kept thinking of other food shows and things that he likes. So he's like, can I just like recommend some food stuffs? And I was like, yes you can. So we're gonna toss it over to that. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, thanks again to Toy Little MC for letting me crash their podcast again. It's Ninja Boy, your anime and manga consultant. If you guys enjoyed Food Wars or Sokoguchi no Soma last week, I hope it definitely gave you an appetite for more cooking-related anime and manga. By no means is Food Wars the first cooking manga to be made, so here's a list of some series you might consider watching or reading. First off, we have Micho Ajiko, or Mr. Taste Kid. It's an old-school anime that ran from 1987 to 1989 about a young cooking prodigy. This is considered the grandfather of cooking anime and manga, with many elements such as the Iron Chef-style competitions that first appearing here. In fact, some say this is the actual inspiration for the actual Iron Chef TV show, which premiered in Japan in 1993. The young male chef trope definitely has continued on in the genre with various other anime in very specific cuisines. For example, Soda no Sushi from the early 90s focuses on the young sushi chef's journey from apprentice to master. Chukan Ichiban from the late 90s focuses on the young chef in 19th century China. Chukan Ichiban is actually getting an anime this season, along with Sokoguchi no Soma Season 4. Yakitake Japan ran from 2002 to 2007 and is generally along the same lines, focusing on a young baker who wants to create the ultimate Japan, pan being the word for bread, commonly used in Japan, and thus you can definitely tell this anime has a lot of puns involved. Addicted to Curry was a manga that was focused on a chef obsessed with Japanese curry that ran from 2001 to 2012. Of course, there aren't only young men in the kitchen, there are women too. These have all been shonen anime, which shonen is the term generally meant to apply to young anime targeted toward young men. So shoujo or young woman anime also have some cooking anime as well. The most popular ones are Kitchen Princess and Yumeiro Patisserie, both focus on girls who create sweets and become pastry chefs. More, while Sokigeki no Soma has been, you know, more on the semi-realistic side of things, you know, apart from the reaction shots, there was also food adjacent and fantastical side of things. There's a fellow Shonen Jump manga, Toriko, about a gourmet hunter who hunt dangerous ingredients to make dishes for their full courses. We're not talking about, you know, going hunting in the Amazon for a crocodile. We're talking about getting garlic that comes in on meteors or steaks made from mammoths that have been frozen in the tundra for thousands of years. Fighting Foodons from the 1990s takes the idea of a food fight literally, with magical cards that turn dishes into monsters to fight at their chef's behalf. And of course, better cooked meals have their corresponding monster be just much stronger. This really used to be my jam growing up when 4Kids TV aired it here in the States. Hell's Kitchen is also a recent manga from 2010 to 2014 about a student chef who was taught by a demon from hell who wanted to eat the soul of a chef who had a lifetime of cooking experience. So how does he get out of this? You gotta watch it to find out. I believe it ran for about 50 chapters or so. If you want something more on the realistic side of things, even more realistic than Sokugeki no Soma, there's definitely some manga for that as well. Bambino is a look at a life of a chef in an Italian kitchen. This was actually adapted into a live action drama in Japan. And while somewhat fantastical, Nobunaga no Chef is about a modern-day chef who was sent back to feudal Japan and becomes the personal chef of Warlord Nobunaga thanks to his knowledge of modern cooking techniques. Talk about a high-pressure situation. If you're a bit thirsty, there are also anime not focused on food, but on drink. My favorite one is Bartender. It's an episodic series where a bartender helps his patrons by providing them the perfect drink to suit their needs and their ails as they tell them about their problems. The anime also for this also has excellent jazz music. It's worth checking out. Drops of Gold is a bit more intense as it is a drama between two long-lost brothers competing to be the best sommelier possible and inherit their father's legacy. If you like the element of Sokugeki no Soma where you could cook things on your own at home, Cooking Papa is similar in that it provides recipes featured in the show. In fact, it's actually an ongoing manga that's been running since 1985, with 150 collected volumes, putting it in the top 5 longest-running manga of all time. It's about a salaryman who cooks for his family at home, but doesn't want his co-workers to know. It had a 151-episode manga that ran between 1992 and 1995. A more modern take is Sweetness and Lightning, which is about a teacher widower who is raising his daughter and takes up cooking to ensure that she has proper meals. Very fluffy. If you listen to the Geek to Geek podcast, which is how I met Toriel, you'll definitely hear about some other anime about going to restaurants that are set to other worlds, the so-called isekai genre. Isekai Izuka and Restaurant to Another World are two anime in this genre, but they're also anime about eating food in restaurants in the real world, which is Kofuki Graffiti, Wakakozake, and Miss Kazumi Loves Ramen Noodles. All, some of these are, more for focus on high school girls, some on salaryman, but at the end of the day, whenever I watch one of these episodes, I'm always very hungry and want to cook whatever was sold in the episode. And finally, my favorite anime I'm going to mention isn't actually technically a cooking anime, but it does have a lot of cooking adjacent thing. If you watch the anime Fullmetal Alchemist, the author of that was actually grow up on a dairy farm in rural Japan. She based the series after Fullmetal Alchemist on those experiences, and obviously as growing up on a farm, food is a very central part to that experience. So definitely check out Silver Spoon. It also has an amazing soundtrack by one of my favorite Japanese groups, Goose House. So anyway, hopefully this menu of options will let you find something to your taste here. Till next time, this has been Ninja Boy, your anime and manga consultant. Back to you, Toriel and MC.
Thank you, Ninja Boy.
Heck yeah. That was great. I had no idea that cooking manga and anime was such a genre. That's crazy.
I've seen a couple of the show that he's mentioned, but he's mentioned a few more in there that I'm interested in seeing. Especially about that one with the demon chef.
Yeah, that one was the one that caught me. Like, there's that. The modern chef that goes back in time seems like it could be really fun.
Oh, I saw that one. Yeah.
That sounds cool. And I really want to watch Cooking Papa, because that just sounds adorable. About a businessman who has a secret love for cooking. I'm like, aw, that's so cute. And I went and looked that one up while he was talking. And the cover of Volume 1 is just adorable, because he's like big, burly, serious cook or serious businessman, but he's cooking some food. And I'm like, aw, that's so cute.
Nice.
Thank you, Ninja Boy. I really appreciate it. I'm going to see if we can get a written list of all the shows that were recommended there, and shows and manga, because I think some of those were manga exclusive.
Yeah.
And see if we can include a link to them in the show notes or something, because there's a lot of good stuff there. MC, did you play Cookin' Mama?
No.
On the DS?
No, I did not.
Oh my gosh. I might... Yeah, I'm gonna do an episode of Turtle Power Presents, the Power Playthroughs podcast with Turtle Power, where I'm gonna go play Cooking Mama, to release next to this episode, because I love Cooking Mama. It's a good show, or a good game. It's not a show; it's a game. So tune in for that, and stay tuned, because we're gonna talk about Food Wars Episode 2, God's Tongue, or maybe God Tongue. I don't remember if there's a possessive S. God Tongue. Right after these messages.
The Podcasters Assemble! Podcasters Assemble Season 2 is a hype/rewatch podcast that's reviewing every movie in the Star Wars Skywalker saga and a countdown to the release of Episode 9. As with Season 1, where we covered all of the films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we want to hear from you about your favorite things in the Star Wars films. You can submit audio for just one of the movies in the Skywalker saga, or you can send in an audio file for every single one. Talk about what you love about the film, your favorite like light side moment versus dark side moment, or your favorite music cue, your favorite quote, or your favorite ship or vehicle in the movie. If you go to probablywork.com and look for Podcasters Assemble, you'll find these instructions as well as a link on where to go to submit your audio. In order to make sure we have time to edit everything, we're looking for you to submit your audio a couple days before. So the deadline for the first episode is going to be October 20th. And then it's weekly after that. So for episode 2, it's October 27th and so on from there. Again, you can find the schedule and all of this information at probablywork.com. Whether you're a podcaster, a YouTuber, a streamer, or just a fan of Star Wars, we want to hear from you. So head to probablywork.com or look up at Casters Assemble on Twitter and share your thoughts about Star Wars.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are. Which, if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes. But on YouTube, I was going to say, but in video format. But it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean. And we're back.
We are back to talk about, as I said, Food Wars, Episode 2. Gods Now See MC.
God Tongue.
I'm looking at Shokugeki no Soma .fandom.wiki.com/wiki/episode_2_. Now, I'm not going to try and keep reading the URL because it's too long. But the point is, it says God's Tongue with a possessive S at the end.
I'm on Crunchyroll. And it just says God Tongue.
Well, listen, we can agree to disagree about the possessive S and instead focus on what's really important here, which is the big-breasted chef sitting naked in a pond, because that's where we start our episode.
I mean, we see the dish at first.
Yeah, she's eating tastes food, it. So you're like, okay, she's not really sitting naked in a pond. The food's just making her feel like she's sitting naked in a pond, which seems pretty good at first. You're like, this must be a really good dish because it makes you feel like you're sitting naked in a pond.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a hot spring.
Yeah.
So
I guess, yeah, that's a good emphasis, because if what popped into your head is just like a murky, muddy pond and you're naked in it, that's probably not a good mental image.
No. It's a hot spring, and then all of a sudden there's a gorilla there.
There is a gorilla in the hot spring with her, just looking at her. Like, hey, what up? I'm a gorilla. That's what he says.
And she...
You can't understand that. They don't subtitle that part.
And she pretty much takes a bowl of... I think she calls it oyster gruel and just slams it down on the top of the dude's head and calls it disgusting.
Is not pleased with it. Hang on. I might have just broken all of my recording. What just happened?
Uh-oh.
Hang on. Okay. It says it's still recording, MC, but after what happened with last episode, I don't trust it. So I'm going to stop and restart my recording on this end.
Hey, future Troy. This is where you cue in technical difficulty music.
We are currently experiencing technical problems. Please sit by.
Something like that. Okay, I'm recording again.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like, I suppose I'm not going to try and make that smooth. I had recording difficulty, but we fixed it. Don't worry about it. Anyway, she says it's gross. She says all their food was gross, and specifically this one was like taking a bath with a gorilla. And that's not what you want to do.
And she has her big whole spiel at him, and she seems really tough on these people. But then it's explained that she has this god tongue where she has the most perfect taste buds or whatever.
Mm-hmm. We hear more about that later. Because for now, everybody's just terrified of her and they're so sorry. And she's like talking to her assistant like, I didn't think that I'd have to do this kind of busy work just because I joined the council. I just wanted power without responsibility. And her assistant's like, well, the next thing we have to do is you have to go judge the transfer students. Dun-dun-dun-dun, because we know a transfer student.
Yeah. And we get a quick scene with Soma and his dad.
Yeah, he's on the phone with his dad. And, okay, do we want to talk about the dad first, or do we want to talk about the restaurant the dad's in first?
Let's talk about the dad.
Okay. Dad is mysterious. I'm thinking connected to the mob. That's my guess. I guess
it's really weird.
It would be the Yakuza.
You really don't find out all that much about him.
He's like
you find out that he's like this top tier chef that is world renowned, but just works in this little shop because it's what he loves, I guess, or something.
Well, that's good. But he's like traveled the world, so he's like, yeah, I was in Spain and then India and then Iceland and then I went to Poland and then I went to Australia for a second and then I flew back to Japan, but I didn't say hi to you, and then I went to the Bahamas and then I went to Norway and then I went to Finland for a second. It was right next door, so I figured that was an easy jump. And then I went down to South Africa, and then I went to Egypt, and then I went to Korea, and then I took a trip over to Greenland for a minute, and then I stopped by in Portland, Oregon, and I high-fived Troy on my way through, even though he doesn't live there anymore. And then I flew to the Bahamas again. I just, you know, I like that. And then I went to Disneyland, and then I went to Euro Disneyland, and then I went to Disneyland Hong Kong.
I think they got the point.
And then he went to New York.
Yeah, he's traveled all around the world, yes. And they're on the phone together. He's out the front of the school, and all these kids have butlers and guards and stuff. And we're about to have the conversation now, or the conversation that they're having on the phone about the school.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, oh yeah, this is the top tier school for culinary arts or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of picking up
Japan or the world.
Picking up the conversation we heard a little bit of last time. That basically like, hey, you're going to go to the school. You'll probably fail. But, and then the dad's like, it's almost laughable for me to think that you might succeed at getting through the school and therefore become a better chef than me. And the kid's like, screw you, dad, I'm going to do it. So I guess that's just how he motivates his kid. I don't know. It doesn't seem like the healthiest of relationships to me.
I don't know. Their relationship seems to be based on this rivalry that they have.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how to explain it.
It kind of reminds me of the Gilmore Girls, how Lorelai and Rory don't interact like mother and daughter. They interact like best buds who like spar with each other, more than a loving mother daughter relationship. Did you watch Gilmore Girls, MC?
Yeah, I did.
It's not a bad show.
No, I like
it. It's kind of fun. Yeah.
I didn't see the reboot or whatever.
I have not ever watched it like consecutively, so I don't know like the overall storyline of Gilmore Girls. But moment to moment, I like it a lot. Can we talk about the patrons of the restaurant that the dad is working at in New York currently?
They seem like bigwigs.
Okay, yes, but one of them is like gonna burst open like that dude in Monty Python, because the dad's like, "Hey, don't eat so much because of your heart condition." And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah," and just keeps shoveling food into his face.
And then, Dr. McFly.
And then one is a congressman who's like, I had to resign because of health issues, and I thought if I could just eat here one more time, then my life would be complete, and now I eat here every single night. And you're like, oh, this isn't so bad and weird so far. And then who shows up, MC?
I can't remember.
The Buddhist monk?
Oh, yeah. Master, come back. No.
Yeah, he's in the middle of a fast. He's not supposed to be eating. And he's like, I don't care. I have to eat this food. It's so good. And then what happens, MC?
He bursts in and... The chef goes outside and he's cooking.
Dude, the monk, the Buddhist monk, yells that he's going to abandon his faith. I assume he's Buddhist. I guess he doesn't say he's Buddhist. He's just wearing garb that I associate with Buddhist monks. He says, I'll abandon my faith if I can just eat this food. And then he rips his clothes off and flies over the rest of the patrons in the restaurant, buck naked.
Oh, yeah.
And MC,
I forgot that happened.
He hasn't eaten any food yet. Every other time we've seen something bizarre happen, it's been in their head as a reaction to eating their food. So my supposition is that this was not in his imagination. This Buddhist monk actually ripped his clothes off and flew across the restaurant, waggling his bits over everybody's food.
Sounds about right.
That's what happened.
Well, that's how good of a chef that Soma's dad is.
Just the thought of the food can make you fly naked. Like a naked Peter Pan. Like a naked
they
Superman.
Continue their conversation. It ends up with Soma being like, yeah, I'm going to do better than you ever did. And the dad being like, he has to find a woman who he has to want to cook food for.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a, like, behind every great man is a great woman. And we see a family photo, but there's glare over the glass, so you can't actually see what presumably Soma's mom looks like.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of intrigue and there.
And then it cuts back to Erica?
Well, yeah, I already covered that part. It's just her being like, oh, I have to go judge these transfer students. Lame. And also there's copious shots of her butt and her breasts. It's like every time she enters a scene, every time that Erica enters a scene, what the camera does is goes, here's a butt, here's some boobs, here's a face. Like every single time.
Yeah.
It's a little objectifying. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And then I think we have Soma meeting some of the other students, right?
Yeah. And they're kind of jerks.
Yeah.
And
they're like, everyone here is in the food industry. That boy over there, his parents are responsible for 98% of the seafood that you'll eat in Japan. And that boy over there, his family runs an oregano empire, just all the oregano in the world. And me, well, my family is responsible for measuring cups. We make measuring cups and spoons. it's just pretty much our main deal.
No, his family ran a French restaurant, I'll have you know. A very snooty one by the looks of it, because he kicks Soma off the bench when he finds out that he runs a common diner.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, you can't judge my food if you haven't tasted it.
He says that as he's holding the dude in the air by his neck. Like, dang, Soma.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I realized the dude kicked you off the bench. He had it coming, but holy smokes.
What is her name? I don't think it's Erica.
It is. Or Erin.
Erin.
Arina.
Arena?
Arena Naka...
Maybe, yeah.
Arena Nakiri. Not Erica. Yeah. Excuse me.
And, essentially, she challenges the transfer students that if they don't get in, they will never get in, essentially, I guess.
Yeah, so she's like, she's supposed to be doing an entrance exam that has like an interview portion, and then they cook three meals and all this stuff. And she's like, that's boring. Instead, you're going to cook an egg dish, and you have you have to cook a single egg dish. And if you pass my judgment, then you're in. And if you don't pass my judgment, then you're barred from the school forever. And everyone's like, F that, I'm going to go take my entrance exam with somebody else who's not you because you scare me. And Soma's like, what's going on? Why is everybody scared of her? Soma's kind of a, he reminds me of Goku a little bit in that he's just like a happy-go-lucky idiot. Like,
yeah,
like you should not be successful because you're so dumb.
No, no, just like how with Goku, he just wants to fight and get stronger. Mm-hmm. Soma wants to cook and just learn everything there is to know about cooking and food so he can get better at cooking at food.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about anything else.
Yeah.
At this point.
I'm now going to replace Soma's voice with Goku's voice every time I watch this show because it totally fits. Like, it's exactly the same attitude of just oh gosh, well, I guess I could kill you because that's what I do. And Soma's like, oh gosh, well, I guess I could cook you an egg dish. His is a little innocent than, although no, it's not so innocent because he does want to rape you with his gross food. Sorry, go ahead, MC.
We get a quick scene flashing through Arena's life of her god tongue and how she has perfect taste, essentially, from such a very young age. And then we get the drags of people running out the door. And then Soma's like, hey, so I get to cook you a dish now, I guess.
Okay, MC. You're skipping over the part, though, where Erina's like, I'm going to go work on a new meal. And her assistant's like, oh, God, a new meal? Cooked by her? And she's like, oh, did you want to taste it, you naughty little assistant? And she's like, oh, God, yes, I do. And she's like, well, maybe I will let you taste it. Okay, I said this episode was less poor.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm remembering this scene.
No,
and it's,
yeah. It's and they're, lot. Like, almost about to kiss.
They're about to
right
kiss.
Soma.
There's roses on the screen. Like, there's
and
some
Soma
serious bouncing and wow
like,
going on.
Hey, I'm going to cook you this dish. It's my turn. You're gonna let me in, yeah? Woo!
Woohoo! Yay! This is gonna be fun.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cook you food. And they're like, "What the hell are you still doing here? You dare take my challenge?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah. I thought I was gonna fail without even getting to cook anything. At least I get to cook some food." And they're like, just chewing him out and stuff. And he's like, "Anyway, I'm gonna make some food." And they're like, "Fine, whatever." And he starts cooking.
And he pretty much. He says he's going to cook this egg dish, and every time they bring up, oh, what is this egg dish, and he tells them, they scoff at him, and then he brings out another step, and it turns into this beautiful dish of, like, seasoned egg and rice. Mm-hmm. It looks so good. I'm so glad I was eating pizza while watching this show. It's always good to watch this sort of show, or any food shows for that matter, while you are already going to eat, and then stop once you stop eating, because you're never going to get full if you just keep watching the show.
That's a very good point. So he makes this furikake rice, but he calls it transforming furikake rice. And she looks at it, and she's like, this is disgusting. I'm not even going to eat this because gross. Whoa, MC. So I have the show playing as I watch it. I just noticed something I didn't notice before, which is that there's somebody listening in on this conversation from outside the door.
Oh, yeah.
I missed that entirely.
The old man.
It is the old man. Oh, I see what happened.
That's the principal.
Yeah, it's her grandfather. Yeah. Spoilers.
Yep.
Spoilies. So she's like, this looks gross. And then he dumps these, like, gelatin cubes of fried chicken on top of it, and it melts into the food, and it looks real good. And she's like, all right, fine, I will have one bite. And then what happens when she has a bite, MC?
She wants another bite.
Okay.
And then another bite.
But what happens in her head when she has a bite?
Well, the first one, I think she gets... She just gets hit with, like, something. I think it's not until the third bite that the things fly out and start tickling her, if that's what you're getting at.
Yes. So first bite, this is good. And then she's like, wait, I just tasted it, and I forgot to judge it, which is weird for her, because normally she only has one bite of everything. Yeah. So she takes a second bite, and like, ooh, can you believe she's going to take a second bite of this food? And someone's like, aha, see, I guess it is good. And she's like, all right, fine. And so she has a second bite, and they start talking about the ingredients and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like stock. It's like chicken and shrimp or something mixed together, and it then solidified into its gelatin form, then cut up, and then put into this dish. And it looks really weird, but like delicious at the same time.
She says it's so good. It's like being lovingly stroked by angels' wings. And this is where things get weird.
Yeah.
Because suddenly she's seen herself as floating in the sky with her god tongue a couple times, but now she's floating in the sky and a bunch of little like Soma faced cupids are flying at her and ripping her clothes off of her.
No, they're not. They're not ripping clothes off.
They are absolutely ripping clothes off. And also tickling her breasts and her butt with feathers.
No, they're not. There's no ripping. They are grabbing hold of and trying to pull off. Yes, I will agree there. But there is no ripping.
Sorry, they are tugging her clothes off, not ripping them.
Yes.
She's making some O faces.
But this is
both in her fantasy and also back when it cuts to her in real life. She's like leaning into the counter and like it's a little much.
See, here's the thing. It's her imagination, but not something that he's done. And the little Somas are not a representation of what he thinks, but of what she thinks.
That's fair.
I just want to put that out.
Is, like I said, it's less intense than the first episode in the, like, weird sexuality vibes. But it's still there. It's just a little less upsetting.
And then he sort of demands she say it's delicious or disgusting. She fights against her feelings and says it's disgusting. Mm-hmm. And she is all angry that she enjoyed this dish.
Yeah, she's like, I enjoyed a dish from a common man like you. And so she
hits a wall and hurts her hand, and then she calls up her grandfather and says, "No, none of the transfer students made it."
Yeah, which now I realize, because when I saw that, I was like, well, that can't be the end of the show. Like, it's episode two, end of show. He fails out at the end. Clearly, that wasn't going to happen. But now that I saw him lurking in the shadows, I understand why that doesn't happen. Spoilies. Yeah. Then it cuts to the credits. MC, we didn't talk about the credits last time. The credits are a bunch of, like, naked chibi characters laying on top of food.
Yeah. It's kind of what I was avoiding it for. Because you kept going on how about this was porn last time. And, I mean, it's part food porn, part actual porn, I guess. Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit of porn with your food porn.
Yeah, just a little bit.
MC... Can I, real quick, I just need to send you a picture of a scene from the credits that I would like you to describe to our friends, to our viewers.
Okay.
There you go. Boy, I hope that was the right chat. It was. Okay.
Yeah.
So I need you to describe that to our viewers here.
That's the third seat. Of the Arena's the 10th seat. He's the 3rd seat.
I'm not council. Worried about who it is, MC.
He's sitting on a giant banana that's peeling back, and he's butt naked. And it's for some strange reason, it's covering up his pecs, the peeling back of the banana.
That's true. I hadn't noticed that his nipples were covered. I was more noticing that the banana was, you know.
You mean that he's riding it?
It looks like it's a big penis.
Yeah.
This show, man. What is this show? This show is Food Wars is what it is. And the next episode of Food Wars is called The Chef That Doesn't Smile. We'll be talking about that next week. Be sure to send in your thoughts. We've got our voicemail set up. If you've watched Food Wars, send in your thoughts about it. If you haven't watched Food Wars, that's even more reason to send in your thoughts about it, because I'm really curious what people who haven't seen this show think about it based on what we're describing. I want to be clear. I want to be clear about something. I liked this episode more than the first. I thought this episode was better. It had interesting story stuff going on. The food looked really good again, but it also was less upsetting. Like the reactions to the food seemed more like they fit in the world. And I don't know if that's just because I was expecting them.
You will like the next episode even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so, because I want to like this show. It has a lot of things I like about it, and then it just has a couple things that rub me the wrong way. And I wanted to make some joke there about things being rubbed the wrong way in relation to this show, but I'm not gonna. I'm gonna not. So I'm just gonna say we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever So Far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.